Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Tonight it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria. You can join us online anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features we have for you. I have put up, by the way, on our social media platform. It is a Mastodon system. You can go to social.freetalklive.com. And I recommend that Bonnie does this as well because she's been on Twitter, but then Twitter kicked her off almost a week ago now at this point. And I would like to invite you to get back on, get active again on
if it works. I mean, Mastodon. I had a Mastodon client called Amarok on my phone, and it just wasn't working. It was like, that's why I deleted it, because it was just like every time I clicked on it, it would turn on and then just turn off.
Well, that is one of the bad parts about open source is sometimes you get some buggy software, but one of the good parts is anyone can develop for open source platforms, and so there's multiple options. So if one thing doesn't work. Yeah, if one thing doesn't work,
that one wasn't on iPhone, at least when I looked, because that's the one Ian had, so that's what I was going to get, but it wasn't there. But maybe it's there now, I don't know.
As I understand it, Mastodon released an official client for Apple phones or whatever, so I don't know. Obviously, I haven't tried it, but it is supposedly a thing. And so, but the nice thing is there's unofficial clients. There's clients written by fans. There's clients written by people that just love the platform and they wanted to do it their own way, roll their own app, basically. And so if you don't like app A or app B is buggy, then try app C, D, or E and, you know, see what you like. There's different ways to do this stuff, which is really cool.
And our server is a free speech server, a legitimately free speech server.
No, I don't think spam's okay. I'm not going to welcome spam.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know that I would consider that speech.
That's been the only stuff that that we've really rejected, besides the snitch
because
accounts,
the thing is,
too. I don't like that.
I don't think it's anti-free speech because it's like they'd be allowed to like put one advertisement for their whatever they're spamming you about, right? But then if they're like putting it over and over again, just unnecessary.
Yeah.
For ordinary people who are trying to find a place to actually speak their minds freely,
this is
a free speech place. I want to see Ed in Europe, the real Casey Rollins, and who's the other one? There's another one who's always getting reported.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't remember.
I don't remember. Guy number three, you know who you are. I want to see the three of you have a competition. By the end of March, I want to see which one of you can get reported. And don't go out there harassing people and bullying people. You know, just continue doing what you're doing, but more of it. I want to see how many reports the three of you can get. And the winner, I will retweet one of your tweets.
All right, very good.
So there's no reward, but I still want to see it happen.
Retweet one of the
retweeting.
Toots.
Yes, that's what I meant. I will retweet one of your toots.
Go to social.freetalklive.com. If you want to check out these lockdown files, I did link to, that's what we've been covering if you're just tuning in. This is what we covered in the first 2 hours, the 100,000-plus text messages that have been revealed between high-level politicians in the UK, revealing the truth about the scummery going on behind the scenes and the fear-mongering and the dishonesty. That is all there for you to dig through and find the gems and the ugliness. It is a crazy situation, and please check those out. Go to social.freetalklive.com, and if you're not yet following the Free Talk Live account, just follow at FTL. As we go to your phone calls, Jamie is in Alabama. Jamie, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Bonnie, and Aria.
Hey, y'all. Talk about the drag queen thing.
The drag queen thing?
Yeah, but you and Bonnie was talking about the other night.
Okay. What about it?
Tennessee outlawing drag shows, basically.
Oh, that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. What's up with... Why do they have to outlaw it?
Because people are sensitive losers who think that their children are under attack if they're around drag queens.
It's a conservative sort of a moment in conservatism right now where they're, you know, they found some new thing that they can go after. Rather than supposedly making government smaller, which is what they want you to believe that they're all about, they want to create a new prohibition, which is to prohibit people from having a cabaret license or something. The word cabaret was involved, and so if you're performing any kind of cross-dressing, you can't allow children in, basically, under the new Tennessee rules, or you could be arrested, is my understanding or recollection of the proposal.
Well, I can understand if you don't want to let kids see it, but...
Why would you understand that?
Well, that's what adults want to see it, yeah.
Well, what if I want to bring my kid?
Oh, Lord.
Can I bring my kid to an to a R-rated movie with sex and violence in it?
No, because you might screw your kid's mind up.
Oh, okay. So then you so you're on board with prohibiting people from, you know, making decisions for what to do with their kids as far as.
Well, yeah. Do you think the government should make it illegal?
Oh. Jamie.
Okay, I'm a little stumped.
Okay, should it be illegal, even if you think it's bad for me to take my kid to an R-rated movie, should it be illegal?
No.
Okay, good. All right, so that's fine. You are certainly free to have your opinion about people bringing their kids to R-rated movies, but you're not willing to put them in jails for it or
the
punish them
that
for
kind
it.
Of
so
sucks
I think that's
like,
fine.
We're getting pushed into the corner of having to defend bringing your kid to R-rated movies when the reality is, if somebody wants to create a drag show for kids with kids in mind, it can be done. Like, lots of people think drag is inherently sexual, and that's just silly. It's like the ones that have been sexual in front of kids, that's I find weird. I find it weird that people want to take their parents want to take their kids to, like, actually sexual ones. And the drag queens probably find it weird, too. You know, like, they're kind of being, like, anyways, it doesn't really matter. But the thing is, drag shows can be made with kids in mind, and sometimes they get protested, and it's like, did you even go watch it? Did you go see?
No, they
didn't. They're wearing, like, gowns and reading books or
I'm sure the conservatives are worried they're going to turn gay if they go and watch a drag show.
I've
seen that stuff, and I didn't turn gay.
All right. Well, there you go. Jamie, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
I am bisexual, but still.
What's that?
I'm bisexual, but still.
Whatever floats your boat. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
Oh, no, don't give them any more ideas. They're going to be like, see, turned her bisexual.
The number here is 603-283-6160. One of the details, Ari, I don't know if you heard about this Tennessee story last week.
I didn't, but I'm really curious about it because, like, are they defining what clothing is suitable for women and what clothing is suitable for men? Because
it seems like they would have to do that. No, what they're saying is it has to be prurient.
Yeah, they said that if somebody is, like, cross-dressing, quote-unquote, and it's prurient, which I had to Google, it means, like,
sexual,
like, the common person would find it sexual. But the thing is, the cops are just going to be like, yep, get on down from the stage, you're going to jail.
But there's nothing prurient, necessarily, about drag shows.
That's the problem. We think that, but the conservatives tend to believe that any drag show is prurient.
That's because they don't know what they're talking about.
That's right.
But if some conservative Tennessean cop goes to break up a drag show because children are there, they're not going to be like, oh, well, you know, this wasn't really nothing sexual was happening. They're just going to be like, get down.
They're going to make the arrest, and then they're going to tell, and then somebody's going to say, look, I'm not, you can't even see my junk or my boobs or whatever. I'm not dressed sexually. This is I'm wearing women's clothing. This isn't sexual. And the cop's going to say, tell it to the judge.
Yep.
And sadly. The thing is, like, I had to Google the word prurient, so the cops in Alabama or Tennessee probably have to too.
Right, and you know we know that some people believe that nudity is sexual. And
I don't believe that.
We don't believe that, but some people do believe that. That's why things like women being topless at the beach is prohibited in so many places, because people literally believe that it's sexual for that to be the case, even though there's nothing related to sex going on.
I argued with someone once. I tried explaining to them that humans sexualize nudity like Pavlov's dog, right? Where every time Pavlov would feed his dog, he would first ring a bell.
Right.
And this trained the dog so that every time he heard the bell, he would begin salivating, like, all right, it's dinner time. Correct. Humans did the exact same thing with nudity and sex, where the only time you ever see someone naked is when you're about to have sex. And this triggers your dopamine releases, and in that way, sex becomes inextricably linked to nudity.
Great point.
Yeah, like, there are definitely cultures where, like, being nude is more acceptable, like Germany. My German friend used to laugh at me because I would just, like, naturally, like, look away. Like, I'd continue talking to her, but, like, look away when she'd change. She'd be like, oh, are you afraid because my boobs are out?
Yeah, all we have to do is ring the bell and not eat every once in a while. And we can break that association very, very easily where we can see someone's naked body and not have it be sexual.
Which is why I think the protests that have been done on occasion are very valuable to allow people to see somebody, at the very least topless, a woman topless in public. Most people don't want to be fully nude in public simply because, you know, as you pointed out, Bonnie, there is a bit of Puritanism here in the sort of the history of the United States. It's not to say that you're a prude if you look away from your topless friend. It's just that we have been raised in what is essentially a prudish society. So we have these habits that have been developed through the idea, whether it was intended or not, to, you know, sort of promote prudism.
This was always a weird position for me on the topless episodes of She Talk Live in particular. Not so much the topless Tuesday episodes, but the topless She Talk Live, because to me, nudity isn't sexual, right? I spent too much of my life intentionally breaking that association because I recognized at some point that, you know, we were trained to associate nudity with sex and we could break that association. But anyway, so here I would sit with, like, Nikki and Angie, and they were both topless, and, like, just for the sake of curiosity, I got to look at their boobs. What are your boobs like, right? But when I'm doing so, I'm not doing it in a sexual way.
Yep.
But because of that, it creates this weird dynamic where we all want to look at each other's rack, but none of us want to get caught looking at each other's rack, even though none of us think it's a sexual thing. We're all conspicuously avoiding doing it because we don't want the other ones to think we're doing it for a weird reason.
That's so funny.
And it was very entertaining, and it was a fun dynamic, and, you know, it obviously all worked out because we kept doing it for a long period of time, and it was a lot of, well, I don't know, a long period of time. We did a couple of episodes.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun, but, you know, for various reasons, we stopped doing it. But
yeah, I mean, it
was
so
just
far.
Weird, right?
Once you got, you know, you got it out of your system.
Yeah. Right? I mean, we made the point that we were trying to make, which was that we could do Topless Wednesday, and we could do a show.
Because it's been Topless Tuesday for the listeners with, like, the guys for a long time.
Right.
And then Aria started doing it, too. And why not have women do it, too?
Yeah, it needs to be normalized to some extent because the Puritanism in this society is a problem. That's what leads to this drag show fear-mongering going on out there. The idea that a man putting on women's clothing is going to turn somebody gay, is going to make children gay or somehow,
like,
sexual deviants.
Violence, like, against women and rape and stuff are highest in the countries where people, like, make it, like, absolutely taboo to dress, you know.
Well, you got a burqa on or something like that. Right?
But even in, like, South America, it's, like, they're really conservative, too. And it's, like, they have high rates of, like, just murdering women and stuff.
That's always the strangest. And I've got to make that video at some point. Where that's the strangest aspect of what Christians and conservatives talk about, right? They want to raise their families, have these strong Christian values, and be a good, upstanding Christian boy. But then they see one drag show. And it just,
it's all done.
Yeah. Like, how impotent is your religion and how weak is your God if all it takes is Bob throwing on a dress and a wig to turn your kid gay? Like, Bob wearing a wig, I just say Bob because it's a generic male name that comes to mind.
Poor Bob.
Yeah. Okay, Tim. How weak is your God that Tim in a wig is more powerful and has more influence on your kid? Because Tim has seen your kid once, and he wore a wig, and he wore a dress. And that one experience had more of an impact on your child than 13 years of being raised as a Christian. How bad of a parent are you?
Maybe the kid was just gay.
Well, that's certainly what most gay people say, is that they were born gay and that they can't, it's not necessarily a learned behavior. I don't know if that applies to 100% of people, but I think it's certainly what most say.
I think there's a mixture of nature and nurture in, like, every trait in people.
Yeah, it could be. So these parents that are, you know, going insane, and apparently some non-parents as well. Bonnie, you have a story that we apparently started a little while back about this teacher in Nashua, New Hampshire. He's got stirred up some controversy. He's a younger guy, apparently. Was it an elementary school?
It's an elementary school in Concord.
Yeah, and
people are upset because this
one guy apparently has a kid at the school. And he's upset because this teacher is wearing women's clothing to school. Not some kind of sexy clothing, but women's professional clothing.
But see, that's sort of the issue. What is women's clothing?
There's a certain cut to it, right?
The thing crazy is, like, honestly, this looks like something that would be totally normal for a man to wear in Asia. Here, I kind of pulled it up for you, Arya.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was going to get at. In a lot of cultures, I mean, prior to...
There's nothing, like, I wouldn't see
Can
that
you describe
and
what you're seeing?
Immediately think woman's clothing, honestly.
It looks like something my grandmother would wear to church. Like,
it's conservative.
They're it's pink. Conservative. It's very conservative. Yeah. But it's just a ordinary button-up blouse, long sleeve, and a pair of baggy pink pants.
And the thing about it is, like, that's the opposite of sexualizing yourself in front of children.
Yeah, in no
like
way
completely
is that.
Covered up. It's like there's a shirt and then also like a sweater vest over it. It looks like, or maybe that's just a button up. I don't know.
There's nothing sexual about it, certainly.
And the shoes are definitely clothing. Like male looking to me.
And I would like to know what someone looking at that, when they see that and they go, oh, those are women's clothes, by what criteria are they making that assessment? Obviously.
That's Exhibit A. That's what this man brought to people to try, or to the school board to try to get this man fired.
Yeah, apparently this
Literally, they wrote Exhibit A over this picture.
Apparently this guy who's complaining about this teacher got stared down or something by the teacher
at one
point.
He said he felt threatened by the teacher, the one that wears quote-unquote girly clothes, and that made him feel unsafe.
And then somebody dug around and found his social media where he's doing a little bit more risque things.
Clearly this isn't at the elementary school. It's when he graduated from, teacher's college or whatever, and he's like...
But this isn't...
But
this
it's
is
silly.
Normal.
Right, what's going on? What are you seeing?
It's a guy in his graduation outfit with his little graduation robe on. It's red. I guess that's normal for the school he went to, and he's... sitting on a statue of what I'm assuming appears to be a panther, and it's presumably he went to college there, and the college is the Panthers, and their colors are red, and he's just sitting on it.
Bestiality. It's clear bestiality.
Well, he's sitting in what I could only describe as a gay way.
That's the thing I wanted to say, but I was just like, I don't know if that's going to make sense to people. But it's not necessarily sexual.
It's not sexual, but yeah, it's a gay way
he
of sitting.
He does appear to be caressing this panther while straddling it.
Well, I have a picture of Nikki riding a stupid frog at Rogers Campground where we were playing mini golf.
Is there one with him in makeup? Wasn't there a third photograph?
The other one is clearly in, like, a backyard. Like, it's not letting me pull it up, but...
None of this is sexual, and none of this is grounds for firing this person.
Certainly not.
I mean, this is what they did in the 19th century. Have you ever seen the rules that teachers had to adhere to in order to be teachers in these small communities of, like, 10 to 12 families? They couldn't be seen with a man after 6 p.m. They had to be perpetually single. They couldn't even show their ankles and stuff like that. It was a long list in a lot of these Puritan communities that if you wanted to be a teacher, these are all the things you had to do and all the rules you had to abide. Mm. Do they really want to impose those same standards on people today? Because that's what it sounds like.
Well, I mean, that's what a conservative would want, right? Conservatives want to go back to the past. They want to conserve the old ways, conserve the old system. What else do we need to know
about this? But they're tweeting about the old. Look, if you want to go back to the old ways, fine. Get rid of your phone and start chiseling this into a freaking blackboard.
And what's crazy is, like, you can go older and find, like, Babylon. Like, what if I want to go back to the old days? Maybe I want to go to Babylon.
Where men wore dresses.
Where men wore dresses, and everyone did gay stuff, and everybody did whatever they wanted.
Yeah, weren't there gay things going on in Greece or something, too?
Oh, yeah, Greece was super gay.
Yeah.
So was Rome.
Yeah. So, what else, Bonnie? Was there more? You said we needed to finish that story.
So, basically, this teacher from a Concord Elementary School called Kristen McAuliffe got placed on leave after a parent...
That's the school's name, not the teacher.
Michael Guillermo... Whatever, I don't even care.
That's the complaining party, right?
Yes. Okay. Complained about the feminine clothing he sometimes saw Allard wearing when parents picked their children up from school. And he believes that Allard was, quote, trying to provoke him in early February by staring at him and crossing his arms. Quote, my concern is that he's engaging in gender confusion and gender dysphoria.
I like how he's painting his Karenism as some sort of concern for this teacher. Well, I'm just worried that he suffers from gender identity disorder.
No, I think what he's trying to say is he's using the word gender dysphoria incorrectly. I think he's trying to say, like, he is engaging in causing kids to have gender confusion and gender dysphoria.
He didn't come right out and say that, but that's the implication.
Well, what else would engaging in it mean?
Because why would you care? If your son's teacher is cross-dressing... Wearing women's professional clothing to school, which barely even qualifies as cross-dressing, but if that's what's going on, it doesn't affect your kid at all unless you believe, which seems to be the common conservative belief now, that anyone else who's dressing outside of social norms will poison your child into becoming a cross-dresser and or
gay
person or some sort of sexual deviant. When, of course, the reality is sexual deviancy comes from repression. Typically, most people who are the most deviant are the ones who are the ones that were restricted and repressed by their religions and their families. So this dad is more likely to drive his kid to being gay or being, you know, deviant. I'm not saying gay is deviant. But to being deviant from the norm in any kind of way, more so than 1 out of 10 teachers, you know, at this kid's school.
I think you're right, because if this teacher could inspire even one of his students to explore their gender identity, to me that's only a good thing. And if you as the parent are like, no son of mine is going to wear a dress, then you're a monster, dude. You should never have been allowed to have kids.
Well, the thing is, people think that they own their kids. They don't think that their kids are like human beings.
Think they have volition or their own agency, basically.
So, a quote from the Guillermo guy, the complaining party of the parent, he says, I stepped back on my right foot. I looked at my camera, and Allard was recording me the whole time. And I said, give me a big smile, baby girl. Boom, I snapped his picture. I turned around and walked away. The next morning, I went there with a very large bodyguard, because I didn't know what I was going to be walking into.
Teacher is going to snap on this guy and attack him?
And then Allard filed a stalking temporary order of protection against the guy.
Amazing. We're going to continue here. If there's more to share, we can get into it. The number is 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever's on your mind here on Free Talk Live. It's open phones every single night. You can join us online anytime you want. And you can do that over at freetalklive.com. We got time for you coming up. The number is 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Crews are stepping up rescue efforts in Southern California after another winter storm slammed the region. Some mountain residents in San Bernardino County remain trapped under several feet of snow. This man hauling rescue equipment up a closed road to help.
Get the dog's food, her food. Of course, I got about 100 pounds of stuff to take. And tools, because she's got an electrical problem I got to handle.
One local resident said many of her neighbors are stranded without food, medications, or other basic necessities. Former Vice President Mike Pence is asking a judge to block a federal grand jury subpoena for his testimony about the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol in 2021. CNN reports his legal team filed the motion late last week. It argues that Pence is protected by a clause in the Constitution. The former VP previously signaled that he planned to resist the subpoena, saying it was unconstitutional and unprecedented. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones open. If you want to join the show here, the number is 603-283-6160. You can talk about drag shows or whatever is on your mind. Here tonight is Ian.
And Bonnie.
And Aria.
I want to say thank you.
It's hard for them to hear what I'm saying when I say and then Bonnie. It's like the D mixes up the B and you can't hear that I'm saying Bonnie.
Try I'm Bonnie.
I'm Bonnie. Okay, yeah, that's better.
Justin O'Donnell, thank you for being a supporter of Free Talk Live's AMPS program. Also, great liberty activist here in New Hampshire. Took, I don't know, hundreds of photographs this weekend
at the
New Hampshire Liberty Forum. He's also a silver supporter of our AMPS program. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. So thank you, Justin, for getting behind what we do here on Free Talk Live for as little as $5 a month. That's all you got to do. Just go to amps.freetalklive.com. You can sign up there on our Patreon and get some perks like access to the AMP-only podcast, which has the full radio show with no recorded commercials. So thank you, Justin O'Donnell. Go to amps.freetalklive.com to do that, amps.freetalklive.com. We can keep going on the drag thing here, or not even drag, a teacher dressing in women's clothing. But Ricky is in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian, Sister Bonnie, Sister Aria.
What's on your mind?
Well, I got to reverse my order on my topic. Sister Aria got me going, and I got to quickly comment on this. Okay, it's like this. It's like if we had He Talked Live, and the people on the show would be yourself, Ian, Jay, and Ricky from the Commonwealth as guests.
Okay.
And at one point, either one of you would go over and look in my direction. That's cool. It's called human curiosity. It shows that you have an intellect.
Mm-hmm.
The higher the intellect, the more curious you're going to be about anything. It's not gay or sexual.
It'd be a little more obvious, though, if you're, like, looking under the table.
Yeah, I mean, it would only become sexual if you made it sexual, right? Okay. Like, if I'm looking
right.
at you...
I don't know how you would have He Talk Live, you know, because we're guys are a little different than girls. But
are guys
really
going to be naked? Is that what you're getting at? Because
yeah,
that detail was left out.
In the case of She Talk Live, it'd be a little different because, unfortunately, guys look at the breast as a sexual organ.
We do She Talk Live with clothes on, so yeah, that's a good
point.
But the breasts
the
are not a sexual organ.
It's so stupid.
I'm sorry, but, like, biologically, breasts are not
a
sexual organ.
Said.
They're not.
I know, it's so stupid. They're the same thing, but that's a stigmatism.
But women also look at breasts sexually.
Huh?
Women also look at breasts sexually, though. This is not just men doing this, right? I've met plenty of lesbians. They like boobs, too, man.
Well, look, the thing is, it doesn't matter whether the body part is covered or revealed. It is the general attractiveness of that individual, which you can assess.
Right. It's either human curiosity or you can make it.
As long as the person's not wearing a burqa, okay, you will be able to assess the attractiveness of that individual. You can see.
Yeah, sure, with boobs, because boobs kind of stick out, but like you can't really just tell how big a guy's thing that you're not supposed to look at is
okay. I get what you're always saying there.
Well,
true.
It'd be like looking at the Statue of David, you know. Same thing, you know.
Okay. What else, Ricky?
All right. Now, it finally happened, brother Ian. Come Saturday, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Congresswoman from Georgia, was at CPAC and spoke. And afterwards, it finally happened. A reporter caught up with her and said, "What do you actually mean with this national divorce?" And here's what he said, and then I'll throw in my analyzation quickly. It's pretty cool. Now, she said, and I'll quote her as best as possible, pretty brief. She wants smaller government. She said red states and blue states. And then she said that way the red states can have the policies they want and really ramp it up. So here's my answer to this, Ian. Obviously, there's no blue states, but the reality, for her concept to even be possible at all, you would only use U.S. congressmen in a district of that state. That's number one.
I don't know
federal.
What you're saying.
Well, yeah, I started tuning you out, man.
Excuse me, to make her concept even possible. Because she just wants red states to have what they want, their policies. But here's the thing, the only way that would be possible is U.S. congressmen in, say, Pennsylvania or whatever would have to be the ones that represent and then bring it to the Congress. But even if it went, it'd never go past the Senate.
You're talking
but
about
the other thing. You
you're
don't
talking
even
about
need
the
that.
Congressman would have to bring a proposal for national
right.
divorce,
they would
so-called.
Bring it to the House. Say it even went. It wouldn't happen. But here's the reality, and I touched on it last night. You don't need that. Take Pennsylvania or New Hampshire, and one may be easier than the other. But what it comes down to, they both have a good shot. What you would need first is 60% of registered voters. Second, all you would need is the House. Just
okay.
Like
well,
South
maybe
South
things
South
work
South.
That way in Pennsylvania, but in New Hampshire, you would need 67% of the
well,
voters.
Well, you know what I mean. Though.
And
you
need
idea.
Both
maybe
the State House. And you need the state Senate to pass a constitutional amendment to put it on the ballot.
But here's the thing. You don't actually need one. In
why?
The case of South Carolina, it didn't. You only had the governor. And the reason why? The Senate would not actually be necessary in Confederacy. You could actually just get rid of them and wouldn't even need them.
Well, I mean, good luck
they
with that. Because I'll tell
job.
You what, Ricky, in New Hampshire, I can't speak for South Carolina, But in New Hampshire, the Senate is constitutionally authorized.
So we have a weaker governor, so maybe South Carolina has a strong governor.
Yeah, I don't know. But thank you for the call tonight, Ricky. I appreciate it. But in New Hampshire, if you wanted to get rid of the Senate, and some people have proposed this idea. I mean, I wouldn't say it's
suck.
A terrible idea.
They're way worse than the House.
They have more power because there's only 24 senators in New Hampshire, so each one has a larger percentage of influence than the 400.
I don't really get the point of them either. It's like, don't the House of Representatives already basically do their job?
Well, wasn't the point to mirror the House of Lords in the United Kingdom?
No,
I don't know.
Like they have the House of Commons and the House of Lords, and that's sort of what the House of Representatives is.
You mean, right, so would the Lords be the Senators?
Yes.
Okay. So that would make sense.
As I understand it, that was sort of the idea, was to mimic that.
Yeah, that's stupid. We don't have Lords.
Okay,
let's get rid of them.
I don't know what the arguments are for bicameral legislatures. I know that I think it's North Dakota or Nebraska? Nebraska, I think it is, actually has a monocameral legiclature. So there are states, or at least one state, that does not have one or the other. I don't remember if Nebraska's Senate or House, but they don't have the other one.
I think New Hampshire should get rid of its Senate. I say that having given the matter only about 12 seconds of thought.
I tended to also, like when I first heard the idea, I thought, yeah, why not? The House is closer to the people. They are more responsible to the people they quote-unquote represent.
For whatever reason, the senators seem to just be like, I don't even think to email them. It's like, oh, they're not going to listen.
But the Senate, to their credit, now, not because they did it for the right reasons, but to their credit, it's the Senate is why we don't have some tax and spend marijuana legalization here. The Senate has stood in the way of that, and the House has passed taxation on marijuana. So I don't think that it's because they're against taxes, though. I think it's just because they might be prohibitionists or not convinced that legalization is the right idea. So it may just be because they're just more stick in the mud and tied into power. But ultimately, that has prevented some pretty bad marijuana legalization from getting through.
Well, wouldn't Sununu have vetoed them anyway?
Yeah, that's true as well. I don't think it would be terrible. I don't think it would be a terrible loss to lose the Senate. But in order to do it, you would actually have to propose a constitutional amendment. You'd have to get the Senate themselves to vote to abolish themselves, which, good luck with that. If you can get to that point, then you've actually got a decent Senate, and you probably shouldn't get rid of those people. But, you know, I could see that would be nice to simplify the government, and it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, I think. But if you want to make an argument for a bicameral legislature, feel free. The number here is 603-283-6160. I tend to agree that a legislature that's closer to the people is better. Not that we want any kind of legislature. I think we'd probably rather have no government whatsoever. But regardless, let's go to your calls here. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What is your name?
Hi there. My name is Gage.
Gage, you're on the air.
All right, so this really isn't about government. I'm not going to really say anything about that because I'm not too knowledgeable about it. But about the COVID scenario, I mean, you guys aren't too far off the bat that it wasn't anything that was fully proven throughout the entirety of it all.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, as far as the deaths go, my dad is immunocompromised, and he's had the flu, I think, once since I've known him, and he's been immunocompromised. And when he got, like, COVID, you know, he got, like, the mild version, and it almost killed him. Like, he was a step away from death.
Yikes.
Sorry to hear that.
He didn't die, right? Like, did he, was it bad from the flu, too?
So, from the flu, it was bad. But, however, with COVID, you know, it had both the near death, because it just kind of tore him up from the inside, but it also had a residual. So we still mask every now and again, you know. We understand that it doesn't help as much, but sometimes it's just better safe than sorry, especially if somebody is immunocompromised or extremely young.
Well, it's like you can make that decision. I don't really think that it does anything. It's not that it doesn't do as much. I don't think it does anything. But you can make that decision, and I wouldn't even say anything about it. I would have never, like, criticized you for it ever. It's just the fact that for the last 2 years, we've been having to argue that we shouldn't be forced to wear a mask when we don't want to, and then we were proven right that it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, but I think everyone here agrees. If If your wife was dying of some disease, I wouldn't be shocked at all for you to try literally everything possible to cure her or to keep her safe or whatever. The same with your father. I wouldn't blame you. Even if it only works 0.0001% of the time, do it anyway.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The masks did become a bit of a stigma for a while. And it was funny, too. Once everything let out, if you guys noticed, if you did wear a mask, like nowadays, you know, even when we go out in public, 99% of the population is wearing one, and it's like an anti-stigma, you
Where
know?
Do you live?
It became, I live down here in Florida.
And you said 99% is wearing a mask right now?
No, it's not wearing a mask.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the Corner News has a sign up that says you can't wear a mask inside.
Really?
Yes,
right. Boy, that's a big change.
Well, I mean, stealing.
Oh, yeah, tell me about it.
It says due to theft. But still.
But they used to require masks.
Yes.
So that's a huge change. So, yeah, Gage,
which
I would say
that... You did have a bunch of fun masks come around that time, because I do remember a gag mask that a friend showed me that he and his family got. It was a ramen noodle mask that if you put it on and you had glasses, it would fog up your glasses. That was the whole point of it.
I don't know if I consider that fun, but, hey, you know, you get your fun where you get your fun, I guess.
It sucked to have your glasses actually fogged up.
I agree with my co-host.
Fogged. We are saying fogged.
Yeah. I agree with my co-host here that if you want to put on a mask, that's totally fine. But the one thing that you don't have a right to do is to tell everybody else that because you're afraid or somebody you know is immunocompromised, that everyone else in society should also have to do the same thing.
I mean, saying that an immunocompromised person got a disease and it almost killed them isn't really like an argument to me. It's like... Well, yeah, you're saying they're immunocompromised. They don't have an immune system as robust as the average person, so probably it's going to affect them a lot worse than the average person. The thing is, does the 99% of the population need to protect that 1%, or should that 1% be protected by their families and stay out of the public as often and things like that? Should we close down the economy for it? No.
Correct. That's not what I'm saying. I was just saying, like, as far as... different perspectives, but it's also interesting how, you know, with the COVID shots, like there's that one tennis player from Russia, he just wants to come over and play a game, but we won't let him because he doesn't have a COVID shot, and nobody else in the world cares. It's interesting how that happens.
Gage, thanks for the call tonight, man, and yeah, we weren't saying you were saying that, just to be clear, but just to make sure that the points are out for the listening audience. I appreciate the call. Thanks, dude. The number here is 603-283-6160. Renee is on the line in Louisiana. Go ahead, Renee.
Yeah, this is Renee. I mean, can I bring up a subject?
That you can always bring up a subject. That's why we have open phones here. Go ahead.
Okay, my thing is, I'm pondering, you know, this racial reparations thing. If I'm a somewhat white guy, if I married a minority, would I like get the benefit of having a wife and not own reparations? Because I'm helping people, and we're like an interracial couple.
You wouldn't. I mean, I think under a law for reparations, you wouldn't get any money. Is that what you're trying to ask?
No, he asked if he would owe.
Would it be on the hook morally and financially if it ever became enforced?
Morally, no.
But you asked a question that we don't. All we can do is speculate on, because all of the proposals for so-called reparations are, you know, in the proposal stage. I don't think we've actually seen any kind of fruition on that. So we don't know what that would look like. But based on my understanding of the concept, the reparations aren't going to necessarily... You're not going to... I don't think you're going to see, like, a debit on your paycheck that says... white guy, reparations, right? Like, ding, we're just taking out an extra $100 a week or something like that. I think what you're likely to see is the government is just simply going to take whatever revenue they have, and they're going to redistribute some of that revenue to people that they say meet the qualifications to receive that revenue. So it's probably going to be as
simple as that. So an indirect way of taking it out of your paycheck.
Yeah.
Might I add a tad bit more?
Oh, sure.
To some of somewhat French ancestry, can... reparations? I mean, the Roman Empire had everybody for slaves.
You said you kind of cut out there.
He has French ancestry, so is he owed reparations because the Roman Empire?
Yeah, you make an excellent question. I just want to make it clear that, on at least as far as I'm concerned, I do not support the idea of reparations. I support certainly restitution against people that actually have been victimized, but the individuals alive today are certainly not the ones that were enslaved, as in chattel slavery. Of course, everyone is enslaved to the existence of the state, and that's a whole other story. But yeah, so just to be clear, Free Talk Live, I think I can speak for everyone in the room. We don't want to see forced wealth redistribution.
No, I want to see people who do something wrong do anything they can to make that something right. But that doesn't mean that people who are descendants of people who did something wrong have any obligation to undo it. They can't undo it.
I think the best form of reparations, if we're going to have it, would be the federal government to abolish themselves and then simply allow the people to homestead the land that they own. There's two-thirds of the country, basically, that's federal land, and so that would be a lot of space for anybody that wanted to get out of the cities and start a whole new life for themselves, regardless of the color of their skin, but to give those people...
No laws against, or no laws that make starting businesses hard. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. Well, it's not fair because our ancestors were slaves, so we got behind on businesses, but like...
That's how you, what do they call it, level the playing field?
Yeah,
right?
If you want
you
to level
the playing
field. You
get rid of the stupid laws.
Yeah.
You get rid of the laws that stand in the way of poor people, which are disproportionately, you know, of color, right? And get in the way of poor people starting their own business and becoming entrepreneurs.
You bring a big paradox here. If big government likes funds to spend, how come it should not stimulate business and more business to generate more funds so they can spend more?
Okay, so you cannot stimulate by stealing. So the government steals money, right? Like, they extort money from people by threatening them with violence. That's what taxes are. If you don't pay the tax, men with guns are going to come and they're going to hurt you. They're going to take your stuff. They're going to take your house. They're going to put you in a cage. So taxes are backed by the threat of violence. And so when you steal money from people, if you then turn around after paying your gang members for, you know, the job they did stealing the money, so you take the gang members take a cut, and then you turn around and you spend, well, I don't know, 60% or 40% or whatever is left over. I think with the federal government, it's like a 60% overhead on welfare programs. So you take the other 40%, and then you actually deliver that to, quote-unquote, people who need it, whether it be welfare or whether it be corporate welfare or subsidies for business. You're not stimulating anything. You're rewarding your buddies. You're rewarding the politically connected, and everyone else has to pay for it. That's
the broken window fallacy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Thank you, Renee, for the call. I appreciate hearing from you. Sarah's in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, I just want to say, I pay $30 a month to the PBS TV station, and sometimes it's like the only thing that's worthwhile watching is the PBS.
So. Oh, that's nice. So you
that should be considered them double dipping in welfare.
So you've called to you're pointing out that Sarah's a welfare recipient.
Yeah, so she's just redistributing some welfare to PBS that already gets welfare.
So she's not a whore. She's very clear on that point.
I see how it is, Sarah. So you've called to brag about how you give money to PBS, but yet you call this show every single night, and you never cut us a check.
Hmm. Well.
You've never joined the AMPS program.
But, I mean, you attack people on welfare, so why should you get my welfare money?
We do not attack you.
You always attack me.
We do not attack. We harass.
I mean, you harass. Do little people that get the help, and so why should you get some of that money? I don't see any about it.
Well,
you
get the airtime.
Yeah, I was just kidding, Sarah. I really don't care if you cut us a check or not, but I did seem a little hypocritical.
Does PBS take your calls?
That's a great question. Yeah, do you get to call into a open phone show on PBS?
You know something? I did. No, but I think not. But what I like is that New Mexico is focused. They have the PBS New Mexico.
That was a lot of words for no.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they don't have it, but I think they have a satellite 98.1 KNME. I think the college station, I think they might be like, and together, I don't know, but sometimes they take callers out on that show that I've called in. to that one show, but I don't know if the one that the station that David Olman Olson got kicked out of, that they
You mentioned David Olson, but I think you have also been kicked off of stations, Sarah. Just to be fair.
Well, they banned me from KKOB for some strange reason.
It's because you're a chronic, what you would call a chronic caller in the business.
Some strange reason.
You're somebody who is a consistent personality. You're always on the phones. You're calling literally every single night.
You have the same topic pretty often.
A lot of times you talk about the exact same thing, and talk show producers don't want to have that on here because it's boring.
Well, the thing is, I've been talking about speeding cameras and
And that's why I tell you that's why we've changed our policy with you, Sarah, because we had to. Because over time, not because you're boring, not just because the listeners might find you boring, because obviously some people are going to like you and some people aren't, but because the host finds you boring sometimes. And that's why I will tell you when you call in, Sarah, you've been calling about that too much. You've called about too many speeding cameras, so you need to call about something else.
The show's going to suck if we're bored, too.
Right.
Well, the reason that they banned KKOB from me talking about speeding cameras, because we got speeding cameras. I mean, it was very powerful enough to...
You're speculating. You don't know why they banned you unless they told you.
Also, it sounds like she's trying to say that they got speeding cameras because of her calling KKOB.
Yeah, she totally believes. She thinks the New Mexico government listens to our show. And that when she calls Free Talk Live, it's influencing them in some way.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing.
And yet she won't give us money. We're influencing your government, and you won't join the AMPS program.
And we don't even take any welfare, so we don't have any help, Sarah.
I don't know if the EBT card works with Patreon, though, so she probably can't join. Unless she's got a bank card or something.
She can buy some Chipotle.
You know what? The whole problem with your thing is that I still write out checks and P.O. Box, and all you got is all this online stuff like that. And
oh, no, we have a mailing address.
You could cut a check and send it our way.
I feel bad. I don't want you guys to influence Sarah to give us money.
No, it's true.
I don't want your money, Sarah.
I mean, I feel bad because of the taxpayer of New Mexico.
Well, I mean, she's already got the money. She's going to spend it on something.
But also, Sarah. I don't know.
Well, the thing is, PBS, I'm going to up it to 50 because they deserve it.
Big spender. All right.
Okay, then never mind. Instead of upping it to 50, just give us 20.
Nah, thanks for the call tonight, Sarah. I do appreciate it, kind of. David on the line in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm Bonnie.
Okay.
You know, people on the radio are no bigger prize than the callers. And women, definitely, there are so many women, a lot of women.
How are you tonight, David?
That get their orgasms from having their nipples stimulated. Ladies, call in and tell Ian about it. Apparently, he's not aware.
Oh, yeah, I didn't really weigh in.
They're not sex organs, dude.
Because I don't know what constitutes a sex organ. But they're like
reproductive.
Sensitive
ability.
And they're kind of related because they the lactation, right? I'm not saying that makes them sexual, as in it's degrading children's minds to see them.
Some people might get an orgasm, off of a touch to another part of their body.
Yeah, especially people that lose their regular sex organs, they can start having those reactions.
I wish we had more time
to talk
about
from their toes and stuff.
It is an interesting discussion, but we're out of time for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night. You can join us online in the meantime. Thank you for the call, David. We'll see you tomorrow. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.